Lessons from College Life and Work. I have not produced this small work out of antiquarian interest or as some sort of very minor historical account. As I've said, John Collett was above all a preacher. As such, he applied the doctrine of Scripture to his hearers. Well then, I know I have not been expounding Scripture, but in light of Collett's life and work, it would be a travesty to leave the record there. One of the leading reasons for looking at history, surely, is that we should try to draw lessons from the past. With that in mind, I believe that John Collett, being dead, still speaks. I now set out 6 ways in which he speaks to me, and I hope to you. First, in the very worst of times, let us not despair. The days were dark and growing darker when Collett began his work. Islam was conquering the world. Christianity was withering. The church was decadent and impotent. Well, we today, in the UK at least, have suffered decades of deadening spiritual apathy, and this has sapped us. Furthermore, false doctrine is raising its head in the churches at an alarming rate. In addition, contrary to Collett, many today who should know better are turning back to the fathers. Above all, an assertive, vigorous Islam is, it seems, conquering all before it. The days are dark indeed. Nevertheless, let us learn from Collett and take courage. Dark as it was when God brought Collett onto the scene, hopeless as it would have seemed, within a few years the Lord had brought about the Reformation with all its attendant blessings. Collett played his part in that. So let us not despair. God still reigns. He can yet raise men and women to do his will and bring about better days. Let us trust him. Faith is still the means that God uses in his people to subdue kingdoms. Others before us, out of weakness, were made strong, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. The age of these who have turned the world upside down has not yet come to an end. Christ still says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let us, therefore, quit ourselves like men and be strong. Be men of courage. Let us draw strength from Collett's experience. Secondly, Collett reminds us that Scripture is one of the 2 main weapons God has placed in our hand, the other being, of course, prayer. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. The followers of Muhammad can and do use the sword. But in contrast, Christ directly forbids it. He uses his people's prayers and their wielding of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Scripture is our mighty weapon by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let us learn from Collett. As he rejected the scholasticism of his day, let us turn our back on the worn-out philosophies of the age, however new and fancy their dress might be. Let us give up our aping of the world and all its psychological techniques. Let us not go back to the fathers. Let us return to Scripture. Collett did so, and preached it in its plain sense, and he lived it out in his life. Let us do the same. Let us get back to Scripture. Let us preach Scripture. Let us live it out. Thirdly, Collett tells us yet again that we must preach the gospel. And I want to stress, preach. Collett announced a series of lectures at Oxford. But he didn't lecture. Oh no, not at all. He preached. And when he left the lectern and got into the pulpit, he continued to preach. We too often today announce a sermon, and what do? We lecture. Shame on us. Collett preached, I say. He did not stop with the text. He not only opened up the arguments of Scripture, not only displayed those arguments to the mental satisfaction of his hearers, he went after the people and applied those arguments to them. And he did it with fervor. He was earnest. He was pointed. He was blunt. He was direct. He confronted. He spoke to the very people in front of him. He didn't deal with issues on another planet or belonging to an age which had long since passed away. Perish a thought. Of course, he knew what it is to be afraid, but paying no regard to their person or power, he communicated with the people who were listening to him at that moment, and dealt with their sins, their hearts, their souls. He went after them. He touched them. He set out to change them, and he did it by scripture. In other words, he preached. Fourthly, Collett would tell us that Christ is all. Collett found Christ through the scriptures, principally the letters of Paul, and having found him, he made much of Christ in his conversation. In private and in public, he preached Christ. So must we. Islam will be stopped. Mohammedans will be converted. Ice-like legalism will be melted. The deadening fog of apathy will be lifted. Sinners will be saved only by Christ. Christ must be preached. Christ must be trusted. Christ must be obeyed. Christ is Christianity, and Christianity is Christ. Christ is all and in all. Him we preach. The apostle himself gives us the key. I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What other doctrine could one possibly find when studying the letter to the Romans, as Collett did? Badgering Parliament for statutes against an aggressive Islam is worse than useless. Pestering Parliament to pass laws to try to bolster some sort of Christendom is a disaster. Pagans will not be converted in that way. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ preached. The Lord Jesus Christ trusted by repentant sinners. That is the way. And it's only Christ. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Fifthly, let us cultivate true spiritual fellowship. But I mean fellowship. Fellowship does not come out of a coffee jar. It comes from Christ. Christ trusted, Christ loved, Christ talked of, Christ shared. This is spiritual fellowship. Collett did much good by, and no doubt received much benefit from, such earnest conversations as he enjoyed with others on the all-important subject, the all-dominating obsession of his life, the one thing needful, namely, Christ. Sixthly, let us labor on, despite seeming failure, looking to God to bless our labors in his own good time. Collett had this very much in mind. He took steps to make sure that his work would live on and be a blessing to a rising generation. He did not confine his thinking to his own passing affairs, to his own day. He took the broad sweep. He took the long view. So must we. What of the years to come? What can I do to be a blessing to a generation yet unborn? What can I leave behind me which will do good? How can I, able-like, speak good things when I am dead? What crust can I cast on the water for Christ today?